Epcot ball, it really big and round and super tall. It's what they call a geodesic sphere. Each time I see it, it provokes a tear.
Welcome to A Spoonful of Podcast, where we dive into the magic of Disney destinations, searching for a great big beautiful tomorrow. Broadcasting from the backside of water.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 186 of A Spoonful of Podcast. My name is Evan Dickens, here with my co-host in crime, Mr. Brian Galloway. Brian, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, and this is a milestone, at least for me, is I am actually filming a recording from Walt Disney World property at the Yacht and Beach Club Convention Center.
That is so cool. We need to do a live show from property one day.
I think that might be something we definitely need to do one day.
We got to do that. So that is so fun. Yeah, we have no guests this week. We are just, we're going to talk about the prices of cheese in China. I'm just kidding. We're going to talk about my trip report that I did a couple of weeks ago, staying at Coronado for a couple of nights, Brian.
I think that's great. And I also, you know, this is a weird day today. I mean, very strange. Because of it's the day of the solar eclipse, and,
right.
and the world is still alive. We're still here. I can't believe we're still here and we're able to podcast. But I'm
can you looking, believe that yes. It didn't end? I mean, wow. Some of these people.
I'm looking forward this to it's like the Aztec calendar. You know, you never know. I mean, doomsday. Here we go. This is it. But we're all fine. Everybody's fine. And you know, we live through it. So yes, we can continue to podcast. So this is the first, This is the first after eclipse podcast of our our group. So yes, let's talk about your trip. Very anxious to hear how your report went.
So yeah, we, of course, interrupt at any time. We stayed March the 17th through the 21st at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort in a standard room. We were in the, and this is in no particular order, Brian. Of course, you know how we do. We don't really go day by day. I'm just going to talk about a lot of different things. We were in the main standard room area, but it was right the building next to Preferred. So Casitas buildings 1, 2, and 3 are Preferred, which are pretty close. Like if you're in building 1, you're right next to where you get food at the quick service building. So we were in building 4. So we were down a little ways, but we got there really early on that Sunday, which was check-in day. And this is our first time driving to a multiple night stay living where we live. So it was.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's interesting.
You know, I was kind of like, okay, you know, let's get up early and go check in. And, you know, we don't have to we'll just leave all of our bags with bell services and we'll go to a park, right? And I'm like, I'd like to leave by like 7:30 in the morning. Well, we get there at 8:30. It's like, okay, yeah, I forgot.
You know,
it just feels weird, you know? And then you drop all your bags off and
were they like, wow, you're here way too early, sir.
No, they didn't. It was fine. But I just went and talked to Casimir and I said, look, we are going to go to a park. So I don't have to have a room right now. She said, well, there's a room ready. She was super helpful. And I was saying, well, you know, we're not Preferred. I just would like something in the standard building that's as close as possible. And so she pulled up her iPad and we looked at the map of the resort and she was pointing out some open ones and then some that were going to be open a little bit later in the day. So she helped kind of guide me to a good spot, which
that's
was
awesome.
Really helpful.
It's very
and
cool.
So we landed in this Casitas building 4, which is really nice. And we were right next to the quiet pool. Observations on that. We did go to the pool a couple different times. The first time we went to the main feature pool, which has the big pyramid and the water
slide. One of my favorite pools on Disney property.
Very cool because it's huge. The pool is massive. I mean,
it's deep too.
It's bigger than some deluxe pools. So it was very crowded. We had to hover around several times just to find one chair to just put our towels on and our bag on because we weren't laying out or anything. But because the pool is so big, it spreads people out so easily and well. So I went down the water slide. There was a little bit of a line. It was good. We had a fun time at the pool. We didn't stay too long with Ezra still. He likes swimming, but he gets tired pretty quickly because he's in this, you know, 3.5 years old where he just wants to swim constantly. So he just wants to be in the water and he wants to swim. So then he starts getting tired and you can tell he's clinging on to us and we're like, okay, it's time to go. So the second time though, I actually at this age of his, Brian, because he just likes to swim and he's not really at the age of water slides or anything like that yet, I kind of preferred our second pool trip to just the quiet pool because it was, you know, I think two people were out there and, you know, he got to swim around.
It's like your own private pool.
Yeah, it feels like your own private pool. It's not crowded. They're not blasting music, which is fine. And then, you know, the day we went to the big pool, they had this huge inflatable beach ball that they were, you know, throwing around and people were keeping it up in the air and stuff like that, which is, that's fun. And, it, you know, the cast members do a great job of keeping engaged and playing pool games and stuff like that. But it was just nice when, and it's kind of like, you know, you got to know your child, right? So he loves to swim. So that was perfect for us just going to the quiet pool and he could swim all around. Good stuff there. Light the pools. And our room was on the fourth floor next to the quiet pool and Casita's building 4. Elevators worked fine the whole time. We were able to park pretty conveniently to our room. All of that was really good. The room was pretty quiet. We never heard anybody around us, which was great. Being on the top level, it was good because, you know, nobody was on top of us stomping their feet or anything like that. So no complaints, man. The resort was beautiful. That evening, we did eat at Three Bridges with my brother and sister-in-law. They were also staying at the same time. They stayed at Saratoga Springs for a long time. And later on in the trip, and I'll talk about that in a minute, we went over there to their pool for the day to hang out with them. But they came and ate at Three Bridges and we had a really good dinner. I will post a ton of pictures after this. And I've been waiting to just photo dump until I recorded this episode. I got the wedge salad with grilled chicken. Very good. It was a recommendation from the waiter. I was torn between a few things. They have a very good burger there that is mixed, like a blended beef burger with like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know if it's got like bison and something else in it. And it was very good. Philip actually got that. He cut me off a little bite. Very good. But I wanted something a little bit lighter. And I was between a couple things and the waiter said, hey, get the wedge salad. And I was torn between shrimp or grilled chicken. And he said the grilled chicken goes really well with it. And it was fantastic. Homemade dressing. It was like an avocado ranch dressing that they make there. Good salad. For appetizer, we got the cheese dip, which is, it has like a little bit of almost like roasted red peppers in the middle and something else. I forgot what else, but it was very good. The cheese dip was good. What else? Emily got the steak frites, and I think her sister got the same thing. And Ezra was just kind of chilling and we made him a peanut butter sandwich. He's still in that phase of not wanting a lot of different things, right? Which is good because we don't have to spend the money. And this is also another reason, like just a tip from us, is we do prefer going to restaurants where there is a menu, right? Not a prefix. Like,
yeah, exactly.
We're staying away from character meals right now, that kind of stuff, because you have to, he's going to cost something, right? And he's like, we went to Woody's, the Roundup Rodeo Barbecue later in the trip. He still cost $22 and he ate tater tots and watermelon. You know what I mean?
There you go. I know.
Isn't worth it. Right. So going to a place where there's a menu, we can bring in food.
Now here's my question. They didn't complain that he's sitting there and not ordering anything.
No, not at all. Nope.
Okay. No, there are many restaurants that if you have a person sitting there, they have to order something.
Wow. Yeah, no, I've never felt anything like, and they'll even ask anything for the little one. And sometimes we'll say just a cup of water, but typically no. And now we will sometimes, if there's a place we're going that has chicken tenders and fries, then we'll get that for them. This place did not. So we just didn't order anything. I've never at Disney had anyone made me feel like a customer that I should be ordering something from him. There, no kind of sideways look, nothing at all. So I did.
That's again, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, if it's a menu place, we that's what we typically do, and it just works out good because I don't want to, you know, waste money on him, and we still want to enjoy those places too. So just kind of works out right now. But anyways, very good. We were there kind of as the sun was going down. You know, it's all open air. It's covered, of course, but it's just beautiful out there on the water. You know, you're seeing the tower in the background. The lights are starting to come on around, and it's a beautiful restaurant. I recommend Three Bridges to anyone. You do not make reservations here. You cannot go and make an advanced dining reservation for Three Bridges. You just have to go and park and say you're going there, and hopefully you can join the walk up. We waited probably 15 to 20 minutes to get a table.
That's not bad at all. That's not bad at all. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Yep. So good place there. Jumping around, we did go to Animal Kingdom later that day. So Ezra did a lot of first on this trip. He is now 40 inches tall, which is like the Disney magic number.
Yeah, exactly.
For a ton of rides. So on Animal Kingdom, we actually took him on Dinosaur.
You did?
Yes, we took him on Dinosaur. And I was worried, but I'm like, yeah, he's going to do it. And it was 40 inches. So I was thinking, okay. He is a very tall 3.5-year-old. He's wearing size 6, sometimes size 7, like 6T, 7T toddler clothes. Okay, so he's tall. And I was like, okay, he's either going to hate this or he's going to kind of like it. And he kind of liked it, which I kind of figured he would because he's very go with the flow. When he's on something like this, like if it's a ride, he's just kind of looking around, kind of unsure. And at the end, he was saying, go again. So he enjoyed
that last Dinosaur. Now they mellowed that out from how it used to be. It used to be, like it was basically, it was on. I took my kids on, you know, when they were young, and Mackenzie had no problem, but Taylor had like bad dreams and she was like crying. But she's gone on since. But it's like, right. I didn't stop her from going on. But she was crying. I think she told us on one episode. Yeah, that's a crazy one. Now he had no problem. You saw that last Dinosaur. He had no problem.
No problem at all. But you know,
I'm very impressed.
Maybe when he gets a little, and you know, our thoughts are, let's start taking him on this stuff now, right? Yep. Let's not wait until he's older. You know, 7, 8, or 9 years old, and we take him on it the first time, and it scares him to death. Let's try to get him on these rides.
Smart move. Accustomed
to it. And when he's in it, you know, maybe in a year when he starts understanding and comprehending things and fears start coming to life and just a little kid's mind, he may be more scared at that point. But at this point, it's just kind of soaking it all in. But maybe he won't. So we're trying to, you know, do that. So anyways, he did like it. We got our picture, all that stuff. Again, I'll post these pictures. He's going to look unsure. I mean, like I said, in the ride, he did look kind of unsure as he's looking around.
He has no idea what's going on. He's like, what the heck is this? Dad, where did you bring me, Dad? Where did you
bring me? Am I in the apocalypse, Dad? Yeah. What's happening? But in the end, he did like it. But, okay, so then afterwards, we went over to the Dino-Rama play area, and I have never won anything over here. But this trip, I won 2 stuffed animals. So I won 2 dinosaurs. I did the basketball game, which is not hard. You get 3 basketballs. And if you get in 1, you get the small prize. So I got in 1 because I'm not good at basketball. If you get in all 3, you get the large, 2 medium, 1 small. So that's almost like a guaranteed win if you can just get 1 basketball in the goal. And then the second game we did the random one where you throw the ball into the cup areas and it just bounces around till it hopefully lands on one where you get a prize.
Yes.
And we were just lucky on that one. I will tell you this. There were a lot of people there with a bags full of stuffed animals. Because
so I have a reason. They're probably figuring out a way to get rid of them as much as possible because it's not going to be around that much longer.
Well, I think that these are people who know that it's not going to be around. It's going to be transformed into the tropical Americas, and they're going to hold on to these and sell them on eBay for a pretty penny.
That's, so there was a lady. The stuffed animals are specific to Dinoland, right?
Right. And you can't order them on Disney's website. You can find them on eBay, and they're still not bad on eBay. They're like 15, 20 bucks, but I'm sure they're going to go up one day. And there was a lady next to us playing the random cup game, and I guess she's figured out, I guess, that that's a high probability winner. I don't know why I would really feel like the basketball game would be the one. If I was going to go pick a game, the water shooting game, I mean, out of all the games, I would do the basketball one if I'm going to be a reseller, because right, I just feel like you're going to get one of those shots, right, each time you play. And the random cup ball in the cup game is just not going to get something. But anyways, definitely there were a lot of people racking up on some stuffed animals there. Two stuffed animals, that was good. We did go try the dig site for the first time. That was chaotic.
Yeah.
Kids running everywhere, you know, climbing the rope ladders. There's cast members up in there. And I've, you know, out of, when you think about it, Brian, about all the different roles you could be as a cast member, and as much as we like to think about what would be our favorite ones to be in, I think about the ones that would be the worst to be in. And I think a cast member in the dig site would probably be close to the bottom for me, because they're constantly having to tell kids, hey, don't climb up that way. Climb down. Be careful. Don't go too fast. You know, that's your day all day, is managing massive influx of kids running rampant, going all over the place. And then Ezra ran into a little girl that was sliding down the slide. He got at the bottom and he turned around, I guess confused in a moment. He was going to go back up the slide. They did a little collision thing. They were both fine, but it was just chaotic.
Well, you know what's funny is behind, so in Epcot in Norway, if you've ever gone in to go get a school bread and you go through that little thing there, and then behind there, there's a little like seating area where you can eat if you want to. And mm-hmm. So if you go out the back door there, there's the bathrooms to the right. But also over, you know, they used to have this gigantic Viking ship that kids could go on and play. And it used to be just as crazy. Now, when they put Anna and Elsa in there at the meet and greet over there, they cleaned that all up. But it used to be just as crazy over there with the kids. And it used to be like total chaos. And I knew eventually they probably had to get rid of it, because it was probably just bad planning, not thinking that so many kids would go over there, because Epcot doesn't have so many things for kids. So parents would bring them over there all the time. So that was nuts too. I remember that. You know, just like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids Playhouse used to be pretty mm-hmm. nuts at times.
Yep.
I think sometimes there's a lot involved with the cast members having to deal with. And there's also, you have to be careful these kids don't get hurt, right?
Yeah. Right. There's a lot in that. And, you know, we didn't go across or over to the other side where there's like it's the actual live dig with sand and dirt and stuff. We just didn't get into that that day, because there would have been a lot of cleaning up to do. But yeah, it was fun, but it was, he had fun, of course, and he didn't want to leave, but it just got to the point where it was just chaos. So that was what it was. Hollywood, sorry, Animal Kingdom, we didn't do too much. We did go on the animal trek that has the tigers.
Okay.
Cool thing going on now is it was mating time for the tigers. So they had them split. The male was on one side and the female was on the other. So they were roaring at each other.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was so cool to hear, because one, you know, the male would make a roar, like a small roar. The female would respond back and forth. So it was really cool.
Yeah, they probably didn't want people to watch them in action.
Right. So that's why they were split up. You know, the male was on one side, the female was on the other. They weren't able to be in the same.
You know, Daddy, what are they doing?
Yeah. Oh, okay. But it was really cool, though, to hear that. You hear tigers communicate with each other. I mean, that was a rare moment that you just don't get a lot. And I love tigers. I mean, tigers and lions are probably my favorite.
They're awesome. They're just awesome animals. I like the cheetahs. I like snow leopards. They don't have it at Animal Kingdom, but the Philadelphia Zoo has snow leopards, which to me is they're one of the coolest ones. Yeah, they're one of the coolest. I love those big cats. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was Animal Kingdom. We didn't do too much there. We didn't stay too long. I don't even think we rode anything else. We did go see the kangaroos. Which, yes, there are kangaroos at Animal Kingdom, and they are in front of the Tree of Life. I think I told that story before, but it was good. The park was fine. The crowds were not too crazy at Animal Kingdom. The problem with Animal Kingdom is that there, you know, I don't know how many rides total there are at Magic versus Animal, but there's got to be like one third. Or one fourth the amount of rides.
But it's also, but it's one third of the amount of rides, but I think two thirds of the amount of walking extra. there's just one thing about Animal Kingdom. There's a lot of excess walking, I think, where you go yeah. long periods of time where you don't see anything.
Yeah, I agree. But then because there's not as many rides, the main rides get so busy. So that's why I like Navi River Journey
yep.
and Pandora and Safari and even Everest and some of that gets so busy because there's just not a lot of rides to disperse people onto. And you have two large shows there, Festival of Lion King, Finding Nemo. Those are people eaters, so that's good. But they need some other people eating experience yes. or ride. Like maybe they need to put
room.
A show back.
And there's room. There's room. There's tons of room there. And so, yes, they do. They have to just be smart. You know, it is interesting because, you know, even with the safari, and this is I learned this on the Jungle Trek when we went on it, that they have trained most of the animals, if not all, to go back into their dens or the pens or wherever they're supposed to be at night. And at a certain point of time, the whole place is empty. Now, they all go in different periods. Like, you know, some of the, like the bongos might go last or whatever. But most of the animals do go back. They have trained them to go back inside. Now, why is that? Because maybe they thought they were going to do fireworks. But the amazing thing about it is the savanna, which is all busy during the day. If you go there very late, you know, you might think, hey, I'm going to try to go on the very, because I did that. I went on the very, probably the last bus. And there were hardly any animals out. It was like you were just driving around looking at grass. Yeah. And the reason was because they're all back. And I learned that from the trek that they check them out to make sure they're okay. Mm. They make sure they get their vitamins. They make sure because you know right. all these animals they live in other areas and they're not always getting the exact food or diet that they would have in the savannah in Africa or wherever they're coming from. So they add some stuff to that and make sure that they get it. And they do all those kind of cool things, which makes Disney so cool that they do all this stuff. But that's another thing too, is that you can't even have a night safari because it would be really cool to go at night and see, but then you have the lions jumping at you in the car or something, yeah, but they would, yeah. but it would be really cool to go at night to see what goes on, but you really can't because they train them to go inside.
Right. Yeah, that's a good little tidbit there. So we didn't ride much because of that. And then the crowds and the wait lines, the wait times were pretty high. The lines were pretty long. So, okay. After Animal Kingdom, we did do kind of it was not a rest day. We went to Orlando. I have had on my agenda to go to Gideon's at the east end of Orlando and just kind of go down and look at what the east end, because the east end is like a market. Mm-hmm. There's a couple markets like this around Atlanta area kind of. So I wanted to see that, maybe go around Orlando. We went and ate at Chewy's, which is it's a chain. It's a Tex-Mex chain. It's one of my favorite restaurants. And there's probably four or five around Orlando alone. So we ate there for lunch and then we went to Gideon's. Do not go to Gideon's at East End. It is not worth it at all.
Really?
It is this is not like an outdoor market that may be in your town, or it's not like one. There's Ponce City Market. That's what I was trying to think of in Atlanta. That's really big. It's multiple levels. It's huge. Got a lot of vendors inside and different eclectic kind of food places. This one was two floors, very cramped. I'll post a picture of it. The Gideon's was like almost like a little booth. They did not have everything that they have at Disney Springs. They didn't have as many cookies. They only had two different cakes. Just to me, it was limited, and there was only one person there. Was not incredibly friendly. I don't know. I would never. I'm so glad I did it because now I will never want to do it again. So if you keep thinking, hey, go to Gideon's on the East End it's because there's never a line at Gideon's, right? You just walk in and walk up there and get what you want. They have all the standard cookies, but I was just hoping for something different. And I don't know. It just was kind of a letdown. So
now how was the quality of the cookies? Just as good?
Yeah, the same. It was the same.
Okay. Yep,
that's the same. But I don't know. You just think, I was thinking, okay, this is the original location. It's going to be kind of cool. The decor will be similar. And they had one bookcase that was that kind of decor, that gothic kind of whatever. But I don't know. It was just very underwhelming. That's a good word for it.
Well, you know, it's funny because that's the truth. So if you look at, there are restaurants that you can go to, like Earl of Sandwich, that you can find other places. And there's a rest stop at you know, on a I think one of the turnpikes, there's a rest stop, and they have Earl of Sandwich. And there's also one at Newark Airport in one of the wings. There's a little small Earl of Sandwich. So you think when you go there that these people are going to be happy and friendly like they are in Disney Springs. Yeah. When you go and you're like, hey, I like the special, the standard, whatever, the original. Yeah. What do you want? It's just that it's amazing,
right,
how it's a different, you do not expect people to be this friendly. Now, maybe if you go visit my daughter's, like if you go right now, Taylor works at Texas Roadhouse. If you go visit Taylor, Taylor has that type of bubbly personality where she could do that, and Mackenzie too, but you're not going to get that in most places. And that's what's cool about, you know, most of Disney resorts, because you always get that.
Right. Well, yeah. So don't go if you're thinking about it. Just don't make the trip. Of course, Orlando's cool. There's a lot of really cool things. Lake Eola is really pretty. We wanted to go there. It's just a lake that has a big walking track around it, kind of like an outdoor park. But it was kind of drizzly, cloudy that day. So I don't know. It just, if I could have redone that day again, I just would have stayed local. We did go to the Character Warehouse, which was fine, and we found a few things there that were pretty neat. So anyways, that was sort of the day in a nutshell. We didn't do anything particularly special for dinner. I think we just went to Coronado's main, the quick service area, which was pretty good, actually. I've always thought that quick service was kind of a little bit better than some of the other ones, I think. They have different stations. You know, they have like a chicken and rice bowl because of the Coronado kind of Aztec Spanish theme. They had a chicken and rice bowl, or you could get, I think, beef or shrimp or something like that. Had like rice and beans, and you have pico de gallo and sour cream. They did have the pasta station where they had the pizzas. They actually had calzones, which I got a calzone. They made it for me and put it in the, they had a wood fire oven or the brick oven there where they did their pizzas. So they put the calzone in there, which it was really good. And that was different to me. You know, you can get pizza anywhere, but the calzone was different. It was kind of good. Then they did just a few other different dishes like salmon and green beans and all that kind of stuff. But they have Dole Whips at the Coronado Quick Service too. They have a little dessert section where you can get muffins and cookies and that kind of stuff. They have soft serve ice cream, and one of them is a Dole Whip.
That's so cool.
They did that. And of course, they have salads and cheesecakes and stuff in the cooler. But overall, I think it's a good food court. It's really big. There's always a ton of seats and that kind of stuff. So
yeah, so that's always been one of the better food courts. Yeah.
Yeah. El Mercado. Okay, so then the next day we went to Hollywood Studios, and we did a lot of firsts for Ezra again. So we did Tower of Terror, which this, out of all the rides, this is
Mickey,
one.
Mickey's elevators are fun. Come on.
And that's Brian, you're going to laugh. I told him that we're going to ride Mickey's Elevators of Fun.
Oh, I have to go tell my friend Jen.
You got to tell. I did. I said, hey, Ezra, do you want to ride Mickey's Elevators of Fun? And he was looking at me like I had two heads or something crazy, because, you know, you can only do that so long until you're standing in the line and there's people screaming from the building, you know. But anyways, this was the only ride that – he still says when we go, in which we've been to Hollywood Studios since our trip a couple different times, and he'll look at that and he calls it the up and down. He said, no up and down, no up and down. So this is the only one where he says no, that he does not want to go back on it right now. The other ones, we went on Slinky Dog Dash, and he was a little scared of that. You know, Slinky Dog is kind of a big kid coaster. You know, after we rode it again, I was like, this is a little bit,
oh yeah, it's not a kiddie coaster, not at all.
And so he didn't like that. But Rise of the Resistance, he loved it. That was fun. He had a good time on that. Smuggler's Run, he had a blast. He was an engineer.
Oh, man, cool.
He was pressing those buttons left and right all over the place. He was having so much fun.
So happy for him to be able to do that. This is great.
Yeah. So we had a really good time at Hollywood Studios. Of course, then we rode Aliens Swirling Saucers, Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway. We did Toy Story Mania, Muppet Vision. We did a ton of stuff that day. All of that stuff he's already done before, but we did throw in four firsts for him. So that was
very cool. very cool, and again shout out to my friend Jen Zicker, who told her kids that I'm so glad that you were able to reuse that. I had to
reuse it. It was just funny. And then Emily, you know, pretty much kicked me for saying that, but it was still funny. Anyways, the next day we did Magic Kingdom with Philip and Lauren. We joined up with them. We did a good bit. Ezra drove his first car, the Tomorrowland Speedway, with me sitting beside him. I helped him with the gas pedal, but I let him just steer that thing all over, and he had a blast. So he had so much fun. Got some good pictures of that. Here's one thing I want to talk about. We left early on Magic Kingdom to go to the Villains Lair, previously known as Top of the World Lounge,
yes.
at Bay Lake Tower. Incredibly underwhelming.
Now, how'd you get to go in there? Because
Philip and Lauren.
Yep. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. So we went up there. We were going to eat at Kona. So we kind of went up there because we had some conflicting information on this. They had told Philip and Lauren that if you want to come back up later to watch the fireworks, you have to go and purchase something. Like a drink, an appetizer.
Yeah. Normally you do have to, yes.
Something so that you can come back later and watch. So we did that, right? And I'll get to the other part later. We did that inside of the Villain's Lair. To me, it was a little cheesy for what it should be. The chandelier in the middle, that's beautiful, right? But it's almost like Six Flags is trying to retheme.
But Everett, see, the thing is, I didn't take it that way. I liked it. I just don't, because beforehand it was nothing. It was just like a boring room, and it was just like a boring room with chairs and tables, right? So I think adding something to it like that, I liked that they did something, because there was nothing there before.
And I liked, because, okay, if you're looking at the bar, there's on the left, there's a wall, and on the right, there's a wall.
Yeah.
So on the left, the wall has artwork. I like that. I think they should have done two walls of artwork. That would have been cool. And had little touches. The menu say Villain's Lair. The drinks and the items are themed after villains. But then on the right wall is just a big TV that's playing slides of villains. And all the cables are like just hanging from the bottom of the TV. They're all just like HDMI
that used to only show pictures of all the different TVC resorts like from all around the world.
I got you.
And so that's why it was more of like, I think it was originally proposed to be like a sales place, and then they allowed people to go in there, and I used to love to go up there because it wasn't very popular for a long time. You could go up there and chill out and hang out. Then it got more popular after that. But yeah, it's better than it was because there was nothing there. That's the way I look at it. Now, did you go outside and watch the fireworks? Okay, well, let me see. I'm jumping ahead. So go ahead.
Yeah. So we ordered the big pretzel. A couple people got a couple different drinks. So, anyways, we ate the pretzel. Then we went to Kona. Kona was excellent for dinner. We kind of eaten on and off that day, and we split the pretzel. So we got the dumplings and the wings. And Emily and I just split those two appetizers. You know, Kona is always good. We split the bread pudding for the table. And then we got back on the monorail and we rode back to Contemporary to watch the fireworks. Now by the time we got back to the Contemporary, the fireworks show was starting. We made our way to Bay Lake, rode the elevator to the top, and I think it was probably two or three fireworks into the show. There was a good bit of people up there, and we walked straight up there, and the same guy that helped us earlier was not up there. So that was the first thing I was thinking. Okay, maybe they didn't stop us or ask to see anything from us because it was the same guy, but it wasn't. It was two totally different people. They watched us come up. They watched us walk over to that outdoor, like, you know, the observation deck.
Right.
We walk up there and nobody said anything to us. Nobody came and asked to check anything. Philip had the receipt, you know, still from if anybody was going to ask him. They didn't even start coming to approach us. Maybe because the show had already started. I don't know. But I was thinking there was going to be some sort of check and balance system to make sure that A, somebody in our party was DVC, and B, that I guess we had purchased something to then come back to watch it. But either way, it was really cool.
Yeah. So I think, you know, what's funny is they used to have somebody manning the elevator. So before you came up, they would check.
Yeah.
They didn't. So obviously they didn't even do that.
They didn't do that. So there's nobody now. When we got there, and I've heard they did that, you know, the elevator is kind of down the hall to get to the top versus right there in the main lobby. So we went down that hallway and we were kind of waiting around. So there was already a group of people waiting for 6 o'clock to happen, because the elevator won't even go to the very top until 6 mm-hmm. o'clock.
Yep, yep.
So there was people waiting around. So then Philip waited. We went outside. I played pool on the pool table, which I love Bay Lake so much.
Yeah, it's a great.
It's just pretty, and the pool is so nice. I can't wait to stay there one day. But anyways, we played pool, and Ezra and Lauren and Emily just sat at a bench right there while we were waiting. So then as soon as it turned 6 o'clock, yeah, there was nobody down there. We just went up straight up to the top, walked up to, there's like a hostess stand outside of the lounge, and that's where you check in. And then they just say, hang around, they'll call your name and they'll come get you and take you inside to your table.
Oh, that's so different than before. Yeah. I used to just go, you check in down below. They wouldn't let you on the elevator unless you had the ability to do that. They gave you, it was almost like a little business card kind of thing. They would give you that to go up, and you go up and that's fine. So that way, if you came back later, you could use that. Cause one time I was on a business trip and we ate at Artist Point that night, and there was like four of us from the company, but there was like eight clients. And I called our DVC rep who I had referred a lot of people to. And I told him, I said, Hey, can I get 12 people into the lounge? And he said, let me see what I can do. And he told me, he said, yeah, go there. And they said, your name, they'll have your name and you can bring them up. So I brought all these people over and we all went up there and we had a good time, and they were really good. It was cool, but we had to check in downstairs.
Yeah.
And then before we could even take the elevator up. Once we're up there, no one bothered us at all.
Right. Interesting. Interesting. So, yeah, I think they're changing some different things about that. But, and I'm almost done. I only have a few other things. So I want to talk about this one thing, and I want to get your thoughts, Brian. So used to, you had to be a direct purchaser of DVC from Disney to be able to access the Epcot lounge. But if you were resell, third party, or direct from Disney, you could go to Top of the World lounge. Then they changed it. Then it was, you had to be a direct from Disney purchaser to do Top of the World or Epcot. Okay. And that's how it's been for a while. Effective this year, do you know this, Brian? You now have to own 150 points direct or higher from Disney to access Top of the World or Epcot Lounge or any other future lounge that are going to build.
Yeah, I did know that. And I will tell you right now, I think that's good, because what people, again, this is where, you know, we always say that, you know, this is why we can't have nice things. People were trying to cheat the system, Evan. People would buy 10 points or 15 points, or they'd split them between their family members. And they did those things to try to get either benefits. Because, again, the DVC used to have a lot more perks than there are today. Like, you had free valet parking, a lot of things like that. They don't exist anymore. Okay, but that – and in the DVC forums that we have, and I know in the in the book that we have, they did send this out a while ago that they were going to do it. And pretty much overwhelmingly, the people that are really DVC members, because really and truly, most people that have points, they're going to get over 150, because it's not economically, it's not going to work that much. If you, especially have like a family of four, it's really hard to make those less than that many points work, unless you're going to only go once every couple of years. So I did know that. I'm going to tell you right now, I actually like it. I don't think it's, because, and only because people tried to get over on it. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't care one bit.
See,
but people try to get over on it too much, Evan.
Well, here's my issue. I think it's fine that if you tried to buy a resale contract, no way. I totally agree with that. You know, you should have to buy direct from Disney. But if I look at it, this example, if it's me Now, you know, the minimum points that you can buy from Disney as a new owner is 100. Like if you're buying in, you have to buy 100 points. You can't buy 75, which, you know, years ago it was 75. Well, of course, it's always gone up, but now it's 100. So that's the lowest you can buy. But if you're trying to sell me Disney, okay, I want you to sell me on buying direct versus buying resale from a third party. How are you going to sell me those benefits? Okay, well, look, you're going to get the discounts, but you're telling me that I can buy 100 points direct from you as the lowest, but you're not going to give me lounge access as a brand new member dropping $30,000. I can't get lounge access. I'm going to buy from you as a perk. That's my issue. I just wish they would let you have 100 points or more instead of 150, because that is the lowest that they're saying that you could buy direct from them. They won't let you buy any lower. So I just wish it was just, hey, just match what you're selling people. If you wanted to be lounge 150 or more, then sell it as 150
more. The minimum should be 150, then you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
That you could buy from Disney. Because essentially you have to buy 50 more points.
Well, they also make a lot of money off of the add-ons, because a lot of people who get points tend to like it, right? Because you get these great rooms, you get the great, you know, like I could tell you, my sisters, when they saw the rooms that we had, and I was just talking to my good friend Lauren, who she was just here recently, and she's thinking of buying, and she was looking into it, and I'm like, yeah, say, listen, again, it's a lot more expensive now than it was when I bought them, believe me.
Right.
But the cool thing about it is you get the better rooms. You have this better experience. You have, you know, and it's just a very cool situation where you became so familiar with everything. I love it.
To me,
it's worth the money. Now, if you buy 100, the Disney knows that the chances are you're probably going to buy another 50 or 60 anyway.
Yeah,
so I think they're waiting for that to happen. But that's exactly what happens. I have 417, whatever. I don't even know what exactly what happened. But I had some and I bought more. Right. And then I bought more and I bought two different extra purchases. And then I got to the right number. I said, this works for us because we like the bigger ones because we have a big family. We have, you know, we bring other people. So we like to have the big, you know, this is our splurge. We don't want to just go get a, you know, one bed and like, it always cracks me up when people are DVC and they have like five people standing in their room. They go, hey, the room fits five. It doesn't really fit five.
Yeah,
you know, one person's laying on the couch. Like that's not a good vacation to me. Vacation is you have some time to yourself. You have some personal space. So we don't mind doing that. And it worked out better, but luckily we got it at a better, way better price than you have it today. So that's a different situation, but I really feel that I don't mind the 150, but with what you're saying, that logic makes sense. They should only do 150. They should say, okay, if you want to do it, the minimum's 150.
Right. I don't want to be punished because I bought direct from Disney.
Yes. You
know, I want to get the access to the same perks that another owner would get access to if I'm buying direct from Disney. But anyways, sorry, Spoonies, didn't mean to turn into a DVC episode.
That's a great question. Yes.
Thought, you know, about that. So, you know, we need to do another DVC episode because I have a lot of thoughts on DVC to begin with, because we do want to buy, but I think we've settled on buying third-party resale. So anyways, a lot of stuff to talk about with that later on. So anyways, after that, Villains Lounge, I talked about that, but the fireworks were really nice. You know, of course, they pumped the music up there. It was really pretty. The view was great. I got some excellent pictures, so I'll post that in the Spoonie group. The next day was another sort of down-ish day. We went to Disney Springs. We did do Homecoming. Excellent.
That was your first time. What'd you get?
We got the chicken biscuits as appetizer for everybody to split.
Which they're awesome. They're awesome.
Amazing. And then here's what everybody at the table got. So Lauren got a fish, like a grilled mahi dish with some sort of creamy dressing on it. And she's pregnant, so she's trying to eat healthier stuff. And it was good. Philip got the spicy chicken sandwich with the mac and cheese. Emily got just a fried chicken sandwich. Ezra did get chicken tenders and fries. And I got the homemade chicken salad sandwich. And it comes with homemade chips, and they do the drizzle on it. There's some sort of dressing drizzle. And it was excellent. Light lunch, good. Of course, the biscuits were heavy, but my chicken salad sandwich was very good. Everything was homemade, and it was on really good bread, chips. All that was so good. We sat outside, like on the all pretty close to where the hostess stand was, actually, in kind of one of those corner tables. So you could see people walking by, which was fine. It was earlier in the day, 11-ish. So it wasn't like I'm watching a bunch of people walking by, tipping over from being drunk or,
Exactly.
It was good. So we did that. And then we went back to Saratoga to the pool. Now, Saratoga has several different pools. They have their main pool, which is next to the lobby and where you go get quick service food, that kind of stuff. But I actually like the pool in the paddock, which is a short walk from that pool. The paddock pool has the tall water slide, and it's got a big splash pad play area for the kids. It's actually kind of like a play set with the dumping water bucket, all that kind of stuff. Zero entry pool. I would think this would almost be more like the feature pool, but it's not. It's
well, that was, I think at one time it was. It's
yeah,
funny
that would make sense.
I think it was, and they moved, they made the other one afterwards. You're right about that. The more I'm thinking about that, that was the original, that was the feature pool.
It would, you know, I was thinking it has to be because it was just, it's big. It's got the bar there.
Isn't the refillable mug stand there?
Yes.
Yeah. See, that was the original one, Evan. Yeah. When they first built Saratoga, that was the original feature pool.
And I'm telling you, man, Saratoga is beautiful. It is so peaceful. And it is just, it's, you're walking on the bridges with the fountains and the water. And their room was in the Springs building, which was, you know, it's a preferred building right next to the lobby. Just, I don't know. There's something about that resort. Same, it has the same feel as like an old Key West, very relaxing, laid back. The walk to Disney Springs, 15 minutes. Even from that building, which we weren't even in the preferred buildings that were next to Disney Springs, which that walk's probably 5 to 7 minutes. Peaceful. Love this resort. Can't say enough good about it. We went that, and then we decided last minute to go back to Hollywood Studios, and I tried my first Ronto wrap.
Oh.
Very good. I thought it was good. I thought it was much better because Philip gave me a tip, and he said to ask for, there's a chicken that they serve there that's got like this really spicy sauce on it, and this isn't Disney spicy. This is spicy. And it was great with that. That made it really good. The Ronto wrap itself was just okay or good, but with the spicy sauce, it made
it. So what do you think though for the price that they charge for a hot dog?
I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, it's way too overpriced. Next. Yeah.
You know, you get a, and to me, you know, I'm a bigger guy. You're a bigger guy, Brian. It's not enough food to be that price to me.
No, it's not.
You're getting one skinny little bratwurst on a pita bread with some coleslaw. And underneath it, you get these plantain chips, but you only literally get a handful. And it's like $14 for that, or $15.
Yeah, and considering what you get over at the Docking Bay, that you get that the short ribs with the blueberry muffin, that's so filling.
I shouldn't be able to pay $15. For this little wrap and a handful of chips, but then go to Pecos Bill's and get a fajita platter for like $12 or $13.
Exactly.
A ton of food with that. It's just, you know, value per food. I think it's a little bit because it's trendy, but it was not worth it. It was good because it was different. And honestly, at that time, it was really all that I wanted. But if I would have been really hungry, that wouldn't have worked for me. I would have had to get something else. So
I don't
believe. Maybe I'm just a fatty, but I mean, that was kind of how I felt about it. So, okay, that was the end of the trip necessarily. We went the next morning, we checked out, we went home. My mom came into town that afternoon. So the next day we went back to Hollywood Studios and then Epcot. She had not been to either of those parks. Quickly, from my mom's perspective, she now has visited all four parks. It's the first time in her life. And her favorite ride on all of property. We did all the big rides. We got Genie Plus both times she came down and visited. Her favorite overall was Soarin'. So she said that was her favorite ride. She loved it the most. She loved all the scenes and the scents and that kind of stuff.
Soarin' over California?
No, it's Soarin' around the world now. Well, honestly,
no, I'm just kidding. I like the California. I like California better, but I like them both. They're both it's A and A1.
If they updated the video for the California, I think it would be better. I agree with you there. Anyway, so yeah, we did do Roundup Rodeo Barbecue for the first time. The food was excellent. Atmosphere is so cool. The Andy's Coming thing where everybody freezes and all the waiters freeze. And I mean, it's just so cute environment in there. My only problem was it is very expensive. To me, it is overpriced. You're not getting a character meal. And it's not a menu ordering. It is a prefix price. It was $42 for an adult, $25 for a kid. So with tip and everything, we paid like $135 for us three. Again, with Ezra eating tater tots and watermelon. And I still don't know if it would have, if it's, I don't know if it's worth it or not. And maybe it is, and maybe I'm just wrong. But I don't know. So that's my observation. I don't think we'll do it again for a long time. But the food was good. I think it's worth to try once, especially if you or your children are Toy Story fans. It's worth it. Your drink comes with it, soda or whatever, and you do get a dessert. So I don't know. It's pretty good, but it just seemed as if it was kind of pricey. But yeah, it was a great trip. It was a great week. It's been my first week off of work in over 6 months. Since we've moved down here, I'd not taken any time off outside of just regular holidays.
That's good. I mean, you seem to get a good time. And your mom, and the cool thing is that your mom was able to come and enjoy it and see things for the first time. And I always love being with people when they see things for the first time. So that's always like an added special to like pass on the magic.
Yep. And we did have one magic moment. We're not ones to ever get pixie dusted. So, and we still really never have, but, and that's totally fine. But there was one moment where it was magical for my mom, and we were coming around Hollywood Studios where Backlot Express is and the Funnel Cake Stand, Indiana Jones, coming around that side before kind of where Jedi Training Academy sign up used to be. And Chip and Dale were walking backstage. They passed mom, and I don't know if it was Chip or Dale, one of them, stopped mom. She was in a scooter, and he was like playing with her horn on the scooter, and she was just dying laughing. He was just going like meep 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 meep.
That's so cool.
And the character attendant was kind of sometimes they look like, come on, let's go, but it was just funny because he was shenanigan, and he just was he kept pressing the horn, pressing the horn, pressing the horn.
I love it.
And she thought that was hilarious. And then he walked off and she's just dying laughing. And then we kept going. So that was really fun. And just to see her kind of smile like a kid again. And, Disney transforms and transports everybody back to being a kid. So
that's a great way to end this.
Yeah. A good little story there. And she had a good time. So yeah, great trip.
I'm glad you had a good time. Yeah, a trip that was an hour to get to.
We are definitely blessed with being able to go so often. I mean, we went last Saturday
too.
Cool.
Very cool.
It's just cool to be close and, and be in a place where, and we all feel the same. That's why we do a podcast, Brian. That's why we have all our spoonies that, maybe we'll cover this a little bit. We have a big episode number coming up, so maybe we'll do some reflection time. And, one of the things I'll mention is about moving down here. It's just, it doesn't get old. If people ask the question, you've been there now, I've been here over 6 months, about 7 months now, and we go all the time and it does not get old.
Well, let's wait till 2 years and then we'll find out if it does get old.
We'll wait.
Six months, that's still the honeymoon.
okay. We'll see.
Wonderful trip. Thank you, Evan.
Yep, absolutely. You're welcome. So, Spoonies, of course, you can find all the content, A Spoonful of Podcast, Spoonie Nation. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter. You can email us, info@aspoonfulofpodcast.com. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you may listen. It really does help us reach others like you. So without further ado, broadcasting from the backside of water, until next time, we'll see you then.
Take care, everybody.
Hey.
Thank you for listening to A Spoonful of Podcast. You can find show notes, ways to follow us on social media, and all episodes on aspoonfulofpodcast.com. Now that you've experienced the magic, it's time for the most dangerous part of our podcast, the return to civilization.